You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Soldanela. My guest today is dancer, choreographer, director, artist, visionary, Luis Salgado. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. And thank you for doing this series and interviewing so many inspiring people.
There are so many inspiring people in this world.
Yes.
It's overwhelming sometimes, wouldn't you say?
For sure. And it's overwhelming and it's needed that there's so many inspiration, especially, you know, you walk through the world and every day, you know, just running here now, I was like, I love every morning because every morning just has the potential to start fresh, to start something new. But by the end of the day, every day you have encountered so many things that who would we really be if there's not enough inspiring people to keep us going, you know?
I know. You see, that's why you're so amazing. It's that gusto you have and that outlook in life that I think is making a difference to so many people. And that's really special, Luis. But let's start with your new awards. You've just won all, I mean, you had 16 nominations for Helen Hayes and you won 9 of them.
Yeah, it's crazy. In reality, we had 18 nominations, which in my mind, the only word I could find was absurd. Apparently, I was grateful for it, but I couldn't believe it. I still sat there that night, and I couldn't believe that Helen Hayes honored 18 nominations to a gala theater Spanish version of a musical. But, you know, the reason why I basically left my Broadway show to do this was because I believe that that was important. I believe that at that moment, at this moment where, you know, Mr. Trump is our president and, you know, that we are basically like 3 miles away from the White House, that it was important to talk about community and what Latinos really represent without the stereotypes that sometimes exist of who the Latino community is. And so it was beyond exciting and beyond pride and beyond joyful and beyond needed to spend a night the way we spent it in DC this past week with the entire theater community cheering and supporting what was going on. And, you know, when we say 18 nominations, but in reality, it was in 11 different categories because some categories had, you know, some of our cast members, even 3 and 4 of them in one category. So basically, out of 11 categories, we won 9, which, again, how honor all of us as a community we are, that validation to the work, to our people, to our accents, you know, took place.
Oh, my God, that's so beautiful. And, oh, my God, so you left on your feet because you knew that this was going to be an important project.
I had to, sorry to interrupt, I had to leave on your feet because I couldn't get away with keep going on directing pieces as I'm performing on a show and asking for leave of absences. So basically that was the limitation at that point. And it was either I continue to work and keep going on my Broadway salary weekly, or I take this leap of faith to do something that I believe that for the next decade is really what I'm going to be aiming to do more. And another reason why I think the validation of the Helen Hayes feels like a real solid, serious accomplishment, because it validates, yes, Luis, if you need to go on this path, if you need to take new risks in order to make this path possible, basically the Helen Hayes Award guarantees that I should, right? That I should look into the next step of my future.
Yeah, but I was also thinking about the leap of faith and the leap of faith you have in your community and the commitment you have to your community, right? So the track and the decision to say, you know what, I'm going to do this because this is important for a larger group of people, not just me, Luis Salgado.
Right, and amen to that as well. And in that, and in, sorry, go ahead.
No, and then that is connected to you, where you were talking about the accents, celebrating the multiple accents we all have, to the work that you did just recently that I was unable to go for Shakespeare. So I want you to somehow connect what you're talking about now to that.
Well, the reality is that, like all of us, it by even validating what I said before, we continue to open a path for our entire community. I wouldn't be here if I didn't wasn't able to do In the Heights 10 years ago, and how that opened the doors for me to meet people as exciting and as an intelligent as you, for example, and that work validated the other. And so the same, everything goes hand to hand. The reason why I get to quote unquote validate those accents or those unheard voices, as I really often try to focus my mind in when I'm directing, is because somebody has believed in my own on her voice, you know, someone like Andy Blackenbuehler, when I had nothing to do creatively on the field of Broadway, he believed that my quote unquote on her voice was important enough. And through that opportunity, what I brought was the on her voice of everybody that taught me something when I was in Puerto Rico, right? My teacher, Jose Rivera, and everybody else. I mean, Los Cepeda, Los Ayala, Los Pleneros de la 21, you know, and all of those voices basically walk with me, walk with us as we do things. And so as we look in paying it forward, saying yes to this opportunity, open the voice of the Columbia Heights community in Washington Heights, open the voice of all these young artists that come from Santo Domingo that are still every 3 years looking to have visa papers in order to work in New York City, or, you know, it keeps opening the doors. And that's the extension of that is what we do with Revolution Latina. The way to really open doors to the community is saying, well, now that we accomplished this, we have this view, that we have this space, let's share it with people that can benefit from it. Originally, you know, when I came to New York, I had no references really, other than the big ones that weren't necessarily related to me. Like Raul Julia, for example, that was a big reference, but I didn't know Raul Julia, right? So how did you figure out the path? And when I stepped into the first audition for Lion King, they said, do you have cheat music? And I was like, music, shit, what? Like, I didn't really, you know, like I stumble como en muy buena referencia, como un buen jibarito with dealing with the language, with dealing with my accent, with not necessarily understanding everything. And so part of my thing directing, choreographing, teaching is like, how do I pass on what I have been able to learn so that the people that are here for the first time or even for years can better themselves and not make the same mistakes I made. And again, that task is not given only to my work directing, but it's mostly to everything I do. That's how I try to pass on that torch or that door opening that I've been able to experience. And lo hicimos con Shakespeare. You know, we brought in the idea into Revolución Latina that what would happen if we conceptualize Shakespeare with basically with the idea of immigrants who are arriving to the United States for the very first time. How hard would it be to belong? How hard would it be to speak the language? How hard would it be to try to communicate? And how would you communicate? And we brought people from Argentina, from Colombia, from Mexico, from Peru, from Puerto Rico, from Santo Domingo, that took this workshop, and we challenged them to speak English through the words of Shakespeare, and it was hard, and they cried, and they came out the other side triumphant and very excited that they were able to belong, to speak on their own terms, with their own accents, with their own shapes, and to be validated and accepted in the work of Shakespeare through a group of people that sometimes could be really difficult to accept you like that.
Exactly. And are you going to, is that play going to come back somehow?
It depends. It's something, you know, one of the things we love about Revolución Latina, but it's also hard, is that we always keep moving. We always keep reshaping what we do. So we did it this year, and a lot of people have been like, this could be a project that you develop further. But I don't know. I don't know, one, because there are other challenges for us to share with our community. And this group of people, what we do realize is that I don't know that we have ever united a group of Beyond Worship students as hard, as strongly as we did this year. So it might come back because the way that it created a result in them, in the way that it gave confidence to them, but it won't come back necessarily as the to be or not to be Shakespearean experience. We're looking at different pieces, and we're already starting to see how we can conceptualize something new. And one of the things that's in the topic, especially within the disasters that have surrounded us in the last few years, it's the Tempest. We're looking at how do we go about
producing the Tempest.
Yeah, well, more than producing, conceptualizing and doing it as a device piece, what would be our version of the Tempest, utilizing the same formula of bringing different, again, I use the word immigrants, to New York City.
That's so beautiful. And so now let's go back to Revolución Latina and children specifically, because you're really active with that. And you've been able to see a few of the children grow up and become semi-professionals, basically.
It's funny you say that, because yesterday I'm doing this awards that is an honor for Chita Rivera. And I was coming out of rehearsal, and I see this girl, and I was like, oh, my God, I know you. I don't know where I know you, but I know you. And she's like, are you Luis Salgado? And I was like, yes. Oh my God, I did your Dora the Explorer. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then like literally I came down the elevator, walked through the door, and another Dora the Explorer girl came in. And I felt really old because they were really little girls that I was able to choreograph. Girls that were surrounding the In the Heights / Revolución Latina experience when we were just starting it. And they took, you know, our workshops, and they ended up dancing for Dora the Explorer projects that I was doing. And now they're big girls. They're grown-ups.
Yeah.
And that's the case with a few of the individuals that, I mean, clearly we touch every year hundreds of lives through the program, but our program is not necessarily focused in making artists. Our program is mostly focused in making or giving an opportunity to encounter yourself as a human being through the arts. And so, you know, they don't always necessarily stay in our radar, but we do have, you know, a good group of 10, 15 young people that we've seen grown. Among them, I always mention Elizabeth San Blanco, because she was a very shy girl from a program in the Bronx, the Mercy Center. And she did my first Antonio Banderas production that we did with which is basically what opened the doors for Revolución Latina. And now this girl is in college, and she's become a spokesperson to our organization in many ways. And, you know, like her, we have, like I said, two hands of young people that we have seen interest in becoming artists and that have continued to follow that path.
Yeah. So what you said about these art programs that you've developed, you don't necessarily do them so that children become artists. It's a tool. It's a way to get themselves to know each other.
Yeah.
How did you arrive at that? I guess at that mission. I agree with it completely. I don't think you need to you know ballet and become a ballerina. I agree with you. I want to know how you developed that.
I think it comes from my teacher. I don't know that anybody really thought that I was going to become an artist in the way that life has given me the opportunity. I was the underdog. I was the guy that, to my face, people will say, oh, yeah, Joel will make it really far and he's going to, you know, we're going to see him fly. What are you going to do, Luis? You know, and I was like, it was always funny to me. But my teacher's program wasn't about, it wasn't about making us or me a star or an artist or someone that was able to accomplish the dreams. It was really was about encountering my own culture. It was really about validating or valuing what Haciendo Punto en Otro Son was or what Llorente Torres wrote, you know, or about the meaning of Valle de Coyotes, or about celebrating las empleadas de comedor. Like that was, I feel like that was really always what my teacher Pepito was all about. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure he's extremely, extremely proud of everything that he's been able to see accomplished by his students. And anytime something happens in my life, I text him or call him and say thank you, because I give this man a lot of value, a lot of validation for who I am today. Pero I think there was something else that was left to me from him that goes way beyond the arts, and that's the connection to human race. You know, to be able to look at somebody in the eyes and feel with them or listen to the stories that, again, the unheard stories. Like the fact that every year we had a show for Las Empleadas de Comedor, that alone motivates me. It wasn't about going in the middle of the school. It was about going inside the comedor, you know, the, ¿cómo se dice comedor?
The cafeteria, the dining
hall. Yeah, going inside the dining hall and being able to just do a private show for them, because the work they did for us was worth it. And I think in that, somehow it translated in my soul to this programming, right, where it's more important that we have access to the arts, because we get access to our own spirits, to our own fears, to our own desires, than it is because we want to be doing a show or because we want to be in the front of a magazine or in an interview like this. I think the beautiful, I mean, you are surrounded by that yourself, Solanela. You know, you grew up in the arts. You did dance, and the kind of caliber of human being that you are speaks for itself. It's a different type of example than I dare use the ego perspective of arts.
No, absolutely. But I definitely thank you for that. I definitely wanted to see how it developed in you. And I think very much like you, in the case of my life with me dancing, but also father being always such an advocate for people and trying always to, you know, bring music to people, and always understanding that the art is a way to understanding one another differently than in simple rhetoric or words. And it's unfortunate that presently, you know, they're not appreciated as such, and that the art programs are being curtailed and cut. And so that's, you know, it's one reason why, you know, I love what you're doing, and because it's rare right now to find that, you know, and that you move it forward.
Thank you for it.
And when you went to Puerto Rico after the hurricane, there's this beautiful video of you giving a class at a school. Can you talk about what you did and what happened there?
Yeah. So I get emails often about, you know, can I do a special sort of presentation or program inside schools? And I don't always get the time to be able to do it. And in this case, Yanitza, who happened to have been a dancer who I basically grew up with in Puerto Rico, she's like, oh my God, thank you for what you're doing. I want to contribute. How do I partake in everything that's taking place here in the island with Revolución Latina? And so I said to her, come to La Fundación, come to our meeting, and let's see what we can do. And she did, you know, and she ended up taking part in a couple of our events and volunteering. And then she was like, Luis, there's one thing I want to ask of you as a favor. I was like, what? And it's like, can you please can you please come to the school? And there were kids who also had lost something, you know, through the Huracan Maria. Some of them, different scenarios. But so she cared not only that I can help them through to going through this phase of letting go of the things that they were basically mourning because of the Puerto Rico situation, but also that they had a big desire for the arts. So I was like, okay, what is it that I can do specially that's tailored to who they are, to what they are going through? And so we did, empezamos con una charla. We started with a talk. And in that talk, which took like 30, 40 minutes, I was able to learn their desires a little bit more and learn their concerns and their dreams. And it was beautiful. And so based on what I heard, I basically improv the rest of the class and how to focus the class. We, you know, I took them through a couple of basics of dance movement. I gave them the on your feet experience, but I try to explain to them or more than explain, because explain is not really the word. I try to expose them to their own discovery of what purpose and meaning and intention is through movement. And at the end of the class, it was extremely uplifting and empowering because they all have found individual encouragement through a piece of choreography. And that encouragement led to them then having another talk, and that talk coming to basically resemble how they were going to take action to get the island back on their feet. Basically like the On Your Feet song, right? Get on your feet. But they had individual plans and individual perspective and an individual scope of their own reality in a way that it was very empowering and very beautiful.
And now, are you going to be, you're doing that again in your summer camp here?
So this year, because again, the situation with the hurricane, we are splitting the focus of our summer camp. So we're starting in June in Puerto Rico. And all the artists that we have basically gathered, and we're trying to empower them, and not only empower them, but give them work. Because una de las clases más perjudicada es la clase artística. One of the most affected communities is the artistic community in Puerto Rico, you know, where people cannot afford to go to the theater because that's not a priority. The priority is light, water, food, work, you know. And mm-hmm. so we're trying to activate a cycle where the artists can continue to inspire the communities in need while getting some work on behalf of Revolución Latina. And so June is going to be working like that in the island. And then the end of July, as we always do, the first week of August, is going to be in New York. But we're limiting it this year to 100 children. And what we are deciding actually this particular week to do is that in the same idea of inspiration and connecting the dots between New York and Puerto Rico, we're mostly going to focus in songs. We're going to sing different songs, and then the choreography and the acting is going to happen through those songs that everybody's going to be singing. So that's how we're doing it this year.
That's awesome. And what else are you up to?
In life. a lot of different crazy, beautiful stuff. I am working on a piece in Colombia. It's called Ella es Colombia, and it's a big, incredible, challenging, yet inspiring project. Because I don't know that as a director I ever work with so much logistics. I have this project, it's almost three-dimensional. I mean, it's a proscenium piece, but I have a background LED, which I get to project in. I have a middle translucent fabric called a hologuzz. So we're also mapping through this hologuzz, and then I have a downstage screen, and we get to basically play and use that whenever we want, however we want, which ends up being like, I get to create my own quote unquote version of Harry Potter in Colombia, which mm-hmm. is kind of crazy. So it's a lot of time consuming, detail conversation after conversation, how to use this 3D kind of effect in the show. I hope that it works out. I'm very excited about it. It's the first time that I'm going this far with the world projections. And I have 30 actors from and dancers from Colombia. And three wow. different composers who are putting together different styles of music. This is an original and it's a first timer. And the dream would be that if it works, they want to tour it through Colombia, because what it does is it honors and it calls for this peace action, but among the people. You know, that Colombia has been going in a very political yeah. reality.
Through a lot.
Through a lot. But this topic of peace is a tricky one, because mm-hmm. it's trying to unite something that there's a lot of division with, politically speaking. And we're trying to address it without addressing it. We're trying to bring up this Ella es Colombia as a sense of providing an opportunity for pride, for understanding, for acceptance among the communities, without touching any of the political situation. So it's a tricky, interesting project. I feel comfortable with it because in the past I've been in Peru, for example, and I address a typical, my English this morning is not very good looking, but I address a similar, topic and an approach in a similar way to a Peruvian piece. And I took the anthem and I, you know, mess with it in an interesting way, and people were very afraid, and it ended up being very well received and understood. So this production company in Colombia, it has hired me and trusted me that I could look at the scope of their reality and play with it and be respectful and bring it forward in a way that sometimes being, como se dice, nadie es profeta en su tierra, no? And sometimes being there, you get too affected and too touched by the problems, but you don't see it without different neutrality. So that's how I feel my responsibility is. You know, I have all these tools to play with, but my responsibility is, how do I make everybody proud of where they're from and honor, you know, their music, their dances, their culture, in the most respectful and elevated possible way, so that these people look at each other in the eyes and embrace each other deeper.
Yeah, that's very profound. And where in Colombia are you beginning?
Doing it in Bogota. That's where the project starts. Yeah, we're going to a theater, El Teatro de Bellas Artes in Bogota. And this mm-hmm. company, Missy Musicales, she's been basically the mother of musicals there in Bogota. And it's an honor to be partnering with her and collaborating.
Beautiful. I'm so grateful for your time. I love this talk. I'm really proud of you. You make us all very proud. Your discipline, your commitment. And I guess to close, I'm curious. I guess your positivism, where does it come from? That sense of being very present to the grandness of living life.
Oh my God, you're gonna make me cry. First of all, thank you. And you have the same approach in life, and this is why this series that you create is so beautiful. So we share that, and thank you. But you just reminded me, which is the reason it touched me, that there was another teacher. Sometimes I focus so much on Jose Rivera that it looks like I am ignoring other people that have touched my life deeply. But I don't know if you remember Marcelino Alcalá. Mm-hmm. Marcelino Alcalá I call him the musical theater passion lover of Puerto Rico. And Marcelino Alcalá, when at the age of 15, Pepito took me to two different choreographers that he wanted them to see me. And one was Leonor Constanzo, who passed away sadly.
I love her
dearly. And she was one of my mentors early on in the island as well. And the other one was Marcelino Alcalá, who used to do Voces en Función. He was the choreographer for basically everything that was at Una Revista Musical was choreographed by Marcelino Alcalá. And he still teaches musical theater. Si no me equivoco, la escuela en la Libre de Música o algo, creo, ahí al lado, enfrente de Telemundo, cerca de Plaza. Creo que es la Libre de Música.
La escuela Libre de Música.
And Marcelino, his father had, clearly there are different things I could say, but you just reminded me and touched my heart on him, that his father has this method called El Método Silva. And every time we were going to a rehearsal or something, Marcelino will always say cancelado. Cancelado, when there was something wrong or someone sent something negative, he will say cancelado. He would delete that thought of any possibilities. And I said, Marcelino, why do you say that? What does it really mean? And he gave me this book, and this book was El Método Silva. It's a little small book that that basically talks to you about the importance of programming your mind to positive thinking. And I was what? I was 17 years old, maybe? And it changed my life, you know? And I think from the entire scope of things I can say, from seeing my mother being, you know, making everything out of nothing, from seeing Pepito create, you know, quote unquote, in my mind, Broadway shows with cortinas with fabric that I will go home and get from my bed sheets in order to make cortinas, you know. And those things were an example of how to make something out of nothing. I think that the positive thinking groundness or reality comes from people like Marcelino Alcalá in my life teaching me how they thought positive, and how doesn't matter where I came from, things have potential if I dream of them. I remember even doing an exercise of drinking water, thinking of those things you wanted, and it was almost like you were hydrating of the positive things you wanted to accomplish in life, and they have manifest. So you, when you asked the question the way you asked it, you reminded me of those days in the car with Marcelino asking him about this. And I think El Método Silva has something to do.
Beautiful. Oh my God. Bueno, pues off we go to a wonderful Friday to begin a new
day. Thank you for starting my beautiful Friday with you and with this reflection and with this humanity and with this basically goal setting to let's keep doing more. Let's keep dreaming more. Let's keep listening more. Let's keep together more, no? And let's keep inspiring more like, as you're doing. So thank you for having this space. Thank you for interviewing so many people. I keep reminding myself of your interview with Maria Torres, because she's also one of those people that when I first came to New York, I saw her and I didn't have a clue that one day I was going to know her or work with her. And when I heard your interview with her, I was very inspiring to see such powerful women as the two of you together, sharing in such a human way, in such a powerful way, what being alive and being an artist is all about. And thank you for what you're doing and for starting my morning like this.
Amen.
Bye. Que tengas un buen día.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.